Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome, one and all, to the FSHD Society Radio. Thanks for being here. We have a great day planned for you. It is Giving Tuesday, and I think we've done this, I think it's just three years in a row now, and this year's a little bit different format, but still bringing some great guests to you. We're going to have 4 one-hour segments that will feature some amazing guests from all across our community, and the main purpose, of course, though, is to raise the funds, folks. This is a radiothon, so like telethon type thing. We have a $200,000 match out there, so we need to get to that mark, right, to get that full match. So let's start there being our goal. We'll have Lee Reynolds popping in and out. She's the producer of this show today. And this segment this morning is an hour long. And to kick it off, like we love to do, our guy that, you know, he raises his sword, we all follow behind, marching along, is Mark Stone. Mark, how are you doing this morning on Giving Tuesday?
I'm good. It's Giving Tuesday. This is an exciting day because we all have an opportunity. We all have a chance to make a difference today, and that's really cool.
Absolutely. We're all a part of it, right? We're all a part of it. We gather together as another community. We've done walk-in rolls. We've done other events. But this Giving Tuesday is, well, it's global. You know, it's an event that is global.
Yes.
And this is something, yes, that we share with so many others that have their something or their fundraisers or whatever they're donating to. And we're hoping to grab the attention of all those to know what FSHD, FSHD Society is about, and hoping to get some people to donate our direction, and we have that huge match out there that we want to, you know, take advantage of. So,
yeah, well, and to that point, Tim, I was, you know, $200,000. You think what difference does that make? Let me say that we have already approved and are raising funds for, but we've already approved a $150,000 biomarker project that our chief science officer, which we'll have on later, Jamshid Arjuman, has launched with a commercial company. We've acquired really an expert as a consultant in biomarker research in FSHD. That kind of thing can make a difference. It certainly covers all of that. There's so much more. I mean, you know, we're coming on in April. We have planned another industry collaborative where over 15 pharmaceutical companies, the FDA, some key researchers get together in a room, and we mark our progress from the last time we did this in 2019 and say, now, what other hurdles do we need to eliminate in front of us in order to get therapies through the clinical trial process and through the regulatory process, and that's going to be about $100,000, $125,000 meeting, but it's absolutely pivotal. This one's going to be in getting us over that hump. So these dollars raised today, that's just two things that I know that these dollars raised today absolutely will make a world of difference. And whether it's $5 or $10 or $20 or $200 or $100,000, it's going to make a difference, a real difference immediately in moving the thing forward. Sometimes in research, it's kind of a black hole. Where does it really go? Those are two of a whole list of projects that we've already got on the docket. Along with our conferences that we always give scholarships to, that's coming up in June. And that's what this money is going to go for, those kinds of projects.
So it's not like the funds are getting lost in some type of sea of misdirection here. No, this is getting funneled to proper paths. This is money in good hands, folks. This is what we need to, as Mark put it, kind of cross those hurdles, get over those hurdles. What do you see as the biggest hurdle as we, you know, exit 2021 and start walking into 2022?
Well, that's a great question, Tim. We've seen through the Fulcrum clinical trial process. As a matter of fact, I think one of our staff said, well, it proved our premise that it's hard to detect ducts for or the lack thereof. And so for the last 3 years, that's really what we've been moving toward. That's why we're doing the biomarker project, so that there can be perhaps a blood biomarker that can detect DUX4 or the lack thereof.
Right.
There's an MRI project that's been launched through Avidity and our clinical trial research network. Jamshid has been involved in talking with those. Amara is a part of that. It's a large project. But if we can detect DUX4 activity without movement or motion attached to it, because we know that sometimes that takes years to decline. And my friend, we don't have years.
Right. We don't.
I've said it all year long. If we had a treatment that stopped this tomorrow, it wouldn't be soon enough. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't be soon enough. Mm-hmm. I've been here long enough now. I've seen my friends and what my adopted family kind of, you know, some of them decline, and it rips my heart open. And we must do that. I'm reminded of a quote that says, you know, we're sometimes called on to make an extreme effort on behalf of an extreme need. And I know no other need that is more extreme. And I also know that the FSHD Society community, when rallied around one point, we'll make that difference and we'll hit our goal. So that's really the thing that we have to discover, the thing that we have to find, the thing that we have to validate and approve. And interestingly, we have all of the clinical scientific resource. All is a bit of an overstatement, but many, many people worldwide, globally, are now focused on these three or four items that really need to be overcome, these obstacles that need to be overcome. And again, this meeting that we're planning in April, it will help. Okay, where are we? Mm-hmm. What more work do we need to get done, and how are we going to get it done? Let's get it done and get it done in a very timely fashion. So, you know, we're spot on. And that's been validated by an independent survey and study of the whole FSHD ecosystem, that the things we're focused on and the things that we've moved our collective intent and our patient community around are exactly what needs to happen in order to achieve our end. We also have clinical trials that are launching in 2022. At least three more of them, and that's if Fulcrum decides to do a phase three. That's a fourth trial that might be going on, all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, we're trying to rally the patient community to sign up and to show up.
Yeah.
At clinical trials, and we want to make sure that we can get into everybody's inbox with the trials that are happening. So, if you have FSHD and you know, you go on our website, sign up, check I'm a patient, and that will get you on that list. So we've had amazing results in finding new patients this year, over double what we've done in years Wow. past. But that's because we've begun to put a concerted effort behind that, Mm-hmm. because we're going to run out of people to join clinical trials. That's a good problem to have, yeah. But we are. Anyway, I've gone on and on. You've got a great lineup today. You mentioned it is global. Yeah. You've got someone that's a part of our World FSHD Alliance speaking actually this hour. from Israel. You've got pharmaceutical representatives that are really, really good. I've heard them speak. You've got some of our key volunteers that have, they've just decided, I'm going to get out of the stands and on the field, to use football analogy.
Right,
I'm just going to stop cheering everybody else on, and I'm going to get out there,
in.
And I'm going to I'm going to do my part.
Yeah.
And that's what today's all about, giving everybody a chance to do their part, be it big or little, great or small. It makes a difference. I can't overemphasize that. And I also can't, the heaviness of my heart, of the ravages of this disease on my friends and family, that which has become my adopted family and my friends, is replaced by joy when people just go getting out of the stands and on the field, getting off my seat and hitting the street, whatever you want to say. That's just it. Rita Dove, which is a poet laureate, and this has kind of been an axiom that stuck with me through this time where we've been talking about doing extreme measures, because again, extreme need requires an extreme response. But she said, courage has nothing to do with our determination to be great. It has everything to do with what we decide in that moment when we are called on to be more. And that we're called on to be more. And we can't not, to use a double negative, we can't not do this.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, we're called on. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're telling us to get up, get going, get involved. This is the day. If you haven't before, now is the time. This is what it's all about, Mark. And man, you know how to kick it off. You know how to kick it off. You know how to get us going. So I appreciate you doing what you do for us and getting us going yet again on another great event, another Giving Tuesday event. I really appreciate you, Mark. Thank you.
Well, it's an exciting, exciting day. And thank you, Tim, for not just hosting this, but really being a catalyst. We all will participate today, in some way, large or small.
Yeah.
And if we don't have a catalyst, namely Tim, then, we can't do that. And so this, over now, what you said, 3 years, not just has become a tradition, but really an anchor and a mainstay that, our science and our research and our therapeutic development have actually grown to depend on this day and the success of this day in order to keep it going. So let me again encourage everybody. And I'm going to be logging on and contributing also. So let's encourage everybody again to do what you can do on this Giving Tuesday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. Enjoy your Tuesday. And, thanks for sneaking in this morning, and I know we'll probably see you commenting throughout the day via Facebook and whatnot. So thanks for the encouragement. Thanks for the kickoff.
You bet. Thank you. Have a great day. I'll be watching.
Awesome. That is Mark Stone. He is our leader, CEO of the FSHD Society. He's getting it going for us. Again, he's the motivational speaker here, folks. He's the one that kicks us off, gets us in the right direction. I appreciate his compliment, Catalyst. I'm try always to be a we before me kind of guy. Base a lot of my decisions on that. How does this help the greater good? And I believe that this event helps the greater good. And if it means that I have to sit in the chair for a while and talk to some amazing people, okay, I can do that. That sounds pretty good to me. So sign me up. We have next guest is, as Mark alluded to, from across the world, from where I am, I believe, maybe not exactly, but definitely far away, from all the way from Israel. She's been on the show before, actually, and she's an author, amongst other great, talented things that she has. And we're gonna talk to her a little bit right now. We welcome Haviva. Hello, how are you doing?
Hi. Hi again.
Hi. For those that maybe didn't see the episode that you were on, talking about your book and what you're doing in the FSHD community, why don't you, you know, briefly tell us about yourself, who you are, where are you right now?
Okay, so I'm in Israel, mm-hmm. as you said, in the Galilee, mm-hmm. and about myself. Okay, yes. in a couple of minutes. Okay,
sure.
So I live in Israel. I grew up in the United States, and I was diagnosed with FSHD when I was around 16. I have 7 children, and one is adopted, but the rest are biological. And so 2 of them so far we know have FSHD as well. I'm a rabbi and a spiritual director and an author. And you know,
just keep going. So
sure. FS, but yeah, I think that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you have a wide variety of talents, one of which is an author, and you have a book, Dreaming Against the Current, out. I know mm-hmm. that is not your only book, right? You also have Hope Valley, I believe, is the other. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration of that book.
Okay, great. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you about the book and about something that happened recently that June had asked me to speak about.
Absolutely.
I should also say, so my hair is wet, and that's a plug for swimming when you have FSHD.
You
I just
there
came from a swim. So I'm half apologizing for the wet hair and half using it as a way to tell everyone, if you have access to a swimming pool, it's been, you know, since I was diagnosed pretty much, I'm now 52. And, so since I was a teenager, I've been swimming, and I believe that it's definitely helped me
absolutely
be as active as I still am. So, okay. So Hope Valley. So, well, Dreaming Against the Current is a book that just came out right now, and that's a memoir. And that actually has a lot about what it is like to have FSHD and struggling with issues of mortality and morbidity and all of that. And there'll be something in one of the newsletters coming up about that book. But this book, Hope Valley, this is a novel that came out in April that I spoke about on your show before. And it's about the friendship between two women, a Jewish Israeli woman and a Palestinian Israeli woman. And one of the things that they connect over is that they're both ill. One of them has cancer and one of them has multiple sclerosis. And, you know, in this book, I purposely chose not to talk about FSHD because it's a novel and I was trying to keep some distance from the characters. But a lot of the issues I wanted to explore around living with illness, with chronic illness, and with and kind of knowing that you're not living forever are explored in this book, and the way that illness can connect people across boundaries as well. So something that happened recently that I know that I was asked to come to talk a little bit about today is that after this book came out, mm-hmm. so someone in the past few months, someone contacted me from Jordan who has FSHD, and he contacted me over Facebook and asked me if there was a way I could maybe help a woman who lives in, it's called Hebron in here, and people I think pronounce it Hebron maybe in English.
Okay.
A Palestinian woman, and if I can maybe help her find better medical care. So that's not in Israel. Hebron is in Palestine, but it's you know, we're right on the border, and there's lots of shared politics and all kinds of things. That's a whole other. But so. It came just as a time, actually, when I was feeling kind of sorry for myself, because I'd been having symptoms that I didn't even know existed for FSHD. I don't know if you had that experience where, you know, like when I was diagnosed as a kid, they told me, you know, I just had it in my face at first and then in my arms. And then they said, oh, maybe it'll go to your legs, but, you know, not for long. Who knows? Not for a long time. And, you know, so now it is in my legs.
Yeah.
and it's in my, you know, my torso, all over. But I hadn't, you know, nobody had told me about respiratory issues. I don't even know if they knew it back then. Like I've had this terrible symptom of like my mouth is very, very dry all the time. And yeah. It's probably like the worst thing that I've had of all my symptoms of SHD. And issues with my vocal cords. And so like, these are things that I was just, and I didn't even connect them with FSHD. Right. And then the doctors were like, oh, you have it. Okay. Well, that makes sense then that, you know, your mouth is open all the time. And that's why you have a dry mouth and you're, you know, and your muscles, you know, don't you know, there are muscles in the vocal cords and don't you know that, you know, over the other and breathing, you know, don't you know, you're, you know, it's all muscles, your whole body is muscles. So that's why you're anyway. So I was in this place of like, oh gosh, I didn't, you know, I didn't know about all that. And then I was asked to help this woman and it helped me, you know, come out of my own like self-pity, I don't know,
sure.
funk.
Yeah.
And to just feel like, oh, you know what, this is a way that I can connect with someone like in my book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and actually we both have FSHD. It's not even, we have, it's not, you know, it's not fictional and we don't have two different illnesses. We actually have the same one. And so I started WhatsApping with her and I speak some Arabic, but not enough to, and I don't write in Arabic. So we were, you know, she was using Google Translate. I was, and it's been really interesting and nice. And I ended up, I did find a doctor that she could go to through my doctor, my neurologist here, mm-hmm. who is an Arabic speaker. And so he knew of some doctor in Hebron and he told her to go to him and they wrote to each other in Arabic. Wow. And so, you know, that's a story that really shows how the FSHD society can connect people, which is, yeah. I think, one of the most important things that I've experienced, especially living, not even living in the United States, mm-hmm. and feeling that I can turn to the society all the time when I have questions and when I also mm-hmm. want to meet people. We started here in Israel, an FSHD group. So now we have over 50 people in the group.
Wow.
We're a very
That's
small
great.
Country. So 50 is good. And it's rising all the time. People are joining all the time. I mean, we don't want so many members, you know, we don't
right.
want so many people who have FSHD, but, you know, if they're out there, then we want them to know about us. And mm-hmm. so that's been wonderful. And I actually asked some of the people in the group who are Arabic speakers that they could also help me with this woman, with what she was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something that's, you know, I won't say it's the end of the story, but something that happened in the story, and I hope that the story will continue, is that I found this doctor and she was supposed to go to the doctor. And then at the last minute, she decided she didn't want to go see the doctor.
Okay.
That she felt like doctors can't really help. Mm. And she was just feeling kind of despondent and in despair about the whole thing. And so for now, she's put on hold, but she knows she has that doctor she can go to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I wanted to highlight about the FSHD Society, because I feel like one of the main, you know, things it can do is connect people. And another one is the research. And because a lot of us feel that, it, you know, it's good to know you have a doctor who can tell you if there's something that might help. But we kind of know that there isn't really anything that can help. There aren't any treatments. There is no cure. And sometimes it can feel depressing to go to the doctor and hear again, like, there isn't really anything I can do for you. I wanted her to go to the doctor at least to have tests to see
like
if her she was having breathing issues too, and right to see like and there I was told there is something they can do if you're having breathing issues where you can you can sleep with a
CPAP
machine
BiPAP,
and things like that, which
mm-hmm.
so that there are some things that can be done to make life a little easier, I guess is how I would put it, but nobody's, you know, able to fix it right now. And so that can be depressing. And I think the FSHD Society gives us hope. And just knowing that the FSHD Society is out there doing so much, just working night and day. And I know that June, you know, like I can write to her.
Mm-hmm.
She's, I think, the most responsive person that I know on email.
Yeah.
It's like I write to her, and you know, weekends, late at night, doesn't matter. Like, she answers, she's just so committed. And so just knowing that there's someone rooting for you, someone supporting you, someone advocating, is just so important. Mm-hmm. So these two main, you know, the connecting and just doing everything that's possible to be done to help us and our children.
It's key. Yeah.
Yeah. Just that there'll be some kind of brighter future. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's and it's amazing. It's awesome what you're doing in Israel. You gather 50 people, and I know what you're saying, right? You know, you almost kind of want it to be a small group, because maybe then it's not affecting as many people. But for those that it is affecting, to have some resource, somebody, if it's, because like you mentioned, you know, you kind of get these stages where you feel a little down or something happens, you know, and the disease kind of rears its ugly head in a different way that you didn't expect. I've been there too. I can totally relate, 100%, including the breathing, the dry mouth, all that. CPAP I wear at night. Didn't see that one coming. And when I, you know, had to wear one of those, I remember, you know, it kind of flashed me back to the conversation that I had with my neurologist, and he said, you know, the FSHD is not, and this is his words, is not going to get you. It's what it does to you that will get you. You know, it's some effect it'll have on your body. That's what'll wear you down. So you're right. It's like one of those things. It's like another issue that stems to FSHD. And so many people deal with this and they have nowhere to turn. But for you, you are one of the lights in the dark. That's how I see it. And they need to be drawn in and know you're there. And I hope this kind of helps. Your books obviously help a great deal, putting your talent to work, bringing people out of where they are to see that there's a community. So I really admire what you're doing. And of course, you're leading with your spirituality as well, which I wanted to ask you about that. How is FSHD and your spirituality kind of, you know, does the spirituality help you that you carry being a rabbi? Does that help you through the FSHD?
I think they help each other.
Yeah.
I guess that, I think because I was diagnosed at such a young age, not so young, but it feels young, 16, kind of pushed me to start seeking answers at an earlier age. You know, why is this happening to me?
Right.
Why do these things happen at all? Why are we all here? And, so they kind of, you know, in some ways, like I say that FSHD is one of my biggest teachers. It's definitely one of my biggest challenges in life for sure, but also one of my biggest teachers, maybe because it's one of my biggest challenges. So I think, you know, because of the FSHD, I've looked for spiritual answers. And so, and then those answers helped me deal with having the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think, feel like there was something else I was going to say, and I don't remember what it was.
But
yeah.
They sounds like you're right. They help they help each other to cope with one. Yet, you know, it almost enforces the spirituality side for people because they have the disease. It sounds kind of crazy, but I think sometimes I believe that if I didn't know I had the FSHD or if I didn't have it, I don't know if I'd be the same person. To be honest with you, I don't know if I'd be as empathetic. I don't know if I would be as kind, to be honest with you. I think it was an awakening of the world around you that understand that people are all dealing with something. I just happened to find mine, and some struggle with multiple things. And it just made me more aware, you know, that there are struggles happening everywhere. And then that just equals, you know, I don't know, just for me, a more closeness to God, spirituality, etc. It just kind of ties together. So I totally get your point, and I do agree with you. I think one kind of helps the other. For you, what is Giving Tuesday mean to you from your perspective? A day like this that seems to kind of stretch beyond borders and cultures and even religions and everything. This is all a common, this is the day where people kind of say, I want to give today. This is when there's matches, there's more money to be to be earned into certain nonprofits. Ours, of course, is what we're talking about today. But what does this mean for you from your perspective?
Well, definitely, you know, a chance to think about what's really important to you and what you want to support and where you want to donate.
Yeah.
Where you want to make a difference. In terms of across borders and all, my vision for a world is a world without borders. And one thing that definitely also having FSHD, I'd say, you know, having that I've been to, we have an international group of FSHD, which I don't know if people know about, that there's groups in different countries, and we did meet in person, and then since COVID we've been meeting on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And it's another one of these things where, like, I wish I didn't have all these what I call like my FSHD family, you know, around the world, but, you know, because I wish we all didn't have this thing. But on the other hand, it's very powerful to sit in a room or be on a Zoom with people from around the world who look different in all different kind of ways, but all look the same in the way that we all have these same characteristics of the FSHD. And you can look at it as, you know, as kind of like a sad way to be connecting. But on the other hand, they're all an amazing group of people, so inspiring. And it is very special to share something with people around the world that you can just talk about, where you maybe can't talk about even with your family if you don't, you know, if they don't have FSH, or you can't talk about necessarily with your neighbors, you know, and because it's something that they just can't understand. Right. But meanwhile, someone who lives in China or, you know, whatever, you know, that's something that we can talk about. And there is something very, very special and powerful about that.
Before we let you go, I guess I want to leave people with, you know, how they can contact you, maybe find your books. If they wanted to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Sure. Well, my website is Rabbi Chaviva, which is R-A-B-B-I, right? H-A-V-I-V-A, rabbichaviva.com. And that has a lot of information. That has about the work I do. It has about my books. My email is Rabbi Chaviva, RABBIHAVIVA @gmail.com. Okay. So, you know, the best thing, I guess, is to, you know, to go to, you can either write to me an email, or you can look at my website and find ways to order my book. They're both on Amazon. Nice. And and certainly if anyone here is listening from Israel and wants to join our group, then you can write to me as well, and I'll put you in the WhatsApp group that we have. And actually we started this little group of Middle East because of this story. So there are people in Jordan and Palestine and Saudi Arabia and Israel. So anyone from the Middle East who wants to join that WhatsApp group as well, you can join.
Awesome.
It's mostly in Arabic, but I ask them to translate for me sometimes. Yeah.
That's awesome that you're doing your part, bringing everyone together. That common, right? You're finding the common thread, and we appreciate that very much. And thanks for joining us on this Giving Tuesday event today. Really appreciate that as well.
Thank you for all you do. I love talking to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Likewise. Be well. Take care. Thank you, Aviva. So that is, that's how we kick it off, man. We go global, right? We go global. We thank her for joining us. It's rabbichaviva.com, and you just add that and change out the .com and add @gmail.com is her email. It is a good person to use as a resource, even if you're not, you know, in Israel. Maybe you want a perspective. Maybe you want a connection. There's nothing wrong with a connection. We thank our sponsors today. We can never forget that, because Perkin Elmer, Dyne Therapeutics, and Fulcrum Therapeutics are always helping get this show off the ground and doing what they can to
keep it going.
It is great to have the sponsorship and great to have the backing of them. We are now getting set for our next guest as Lee just keeps giving me one after the other. I love it. Thank you, Lee. You're a great producer. Couldn't do it without her. Makes life so much easier. We welcome Olga Middleman. I think I might have mispronounced your name. I'll let you correct me. I will not take offense at all, of course, because, yeah. I thank you for joining us, and tell us a little about yourself and why you're on this Giving Tuesday telethon.
Tim, thank you very much. You got my name absolutely right, Olga Middleman. Yes. I have the great pleasure to join you this morning. Thank you so much for having me. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I did. I hope you did as well. It always is a nice, quiet couple days for me with my family. I hope others have the same experience, or if they like it busy and crazy, I hope they have that too. You know, to each his own. But I always get excited.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of both. Okay. But I always get excited, you know, during actually Thanksgiving, because my family knows Giving Tuesday is right around the corner. They ask about the event. They ask about what I'm going to be doing. My parents, you know, watch in the whole thing. And it is great support. It kind of starts even already then and kind of plugging it. But when I saw the guest list, I saw you coming on, Olga, and I was excited because you are with Fulcrum, right? I mean,
yes,
that's
right.
Sponsor for one, you know, I love that. And then, you know, a lot of exciting things happening there.
Absolutely. So I did join Fulcrum. It has been about 2 months. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that I got to do when I joined Fulcrum is come to an FSHD Society 360 meeting. Nice. And it had been only several weeks into my tenure. And I was so excited because it was really a great opportunity for me to get to know the community. And it was a great introduction and an opportunity to meet folks in person. And this is something that I think we can never take for granted again, given the COVID experience.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a chance to be in the same room and online with people with FSHD, their families, clinicians, and members of the FSHD Society staff. And during this meeting, we had a great opportunity to hear about the latest developments in research, the importance of the multidisciplinary approach in the treatment of FSHD, which includes physical therapy and speech therapy, and attention to mental health, which is very important, in addition to clinical care. And we also got an update on the latest developments in genetic testing. And this meeting also gave me an opportunity to share some of the details of our losmapimod clinical development program and the results of our phase 2 ReDUX4 trial, which is a double-blind placebo-controlled study of about 48 weeks duration. Hmm. And in this study, ReDUX4 demonstrated losmapimod's potential to modify the course of disease progression in FSHD. And treatment with losmapimod resulted in improved muscle health, as demonstrated by whole body MRI. It showed impact on strength and upper body function, as seen on the key clinical outcome of reachable workspace. And importantly, this trial also included a patient-reported outcome scale, the patient global impression of change, where patients on losmapimod experienced improvement versus placebo. And this trial is currently in its open label extension phase, and we continue to follow patients, both those who were started on losmapimod at the beginning of the trial and those who were switched to it after 48 weeks on placebo. But for me, Tim, the best part of the meeting was the privilege to meet people with FSHD and their family members and to hear their stories, their experience before the diagnosis, mm-hmm. and then how they were diagnosed and then their journey afterwards. Mm. And the challenges that these families face every day and their resilience as they tackle these challenges are truly, truly inspirational for all of us at Fulcrum. The families never give up, the patients never give up, and neither can we. Mm.
That's number one. That is a lot to unpack. I mean, that's a lot of good things happening with that conference and the fact that you were also able to meet a lot of the patients. So how does that translate then for you on a day like today, Giving Tuesday? You know, we're trying to raise funds for the FSHD Society when there are so many great foundations, great nonprofits out there doing the same. But for us, this is extremely important. So for you, what is the impact of like a Giving Tuesday event mean to you and what it can do for Fulcrum or for the FSHD Society?
Well, I think that the work that the FSHD Society does is absolutely crucial to what we at Fulcrum are trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. We are trying to bring a disease-modifying therapy to patients as soon as possible. This is our primary goal. And in order to do this, we must understand what the patients need and how FSHD is impacting them and their families, and what will successful therapy need to deliver? What does success look like? Mm-hmm. And the FSHD Society brings people with FSHD and their families together to help answer these questions. And we at Fulcrum speak to and listen to members of the community during every single step of the drug development process. We are looking to understand their unmet needs and look to design our trials with patient input. And when we get data, we share the results to get the patient perspective and to answer the question of what our next steps should be. But that's not all the society does. The society also plays a key role in education around FSHD in general and what resources are available to patients and families. And it funds scientific and medical research. And I believe that it is the synergy of the data generated by academic research and industry research that will bring therapies forward. And another key thing that the society does is advocating for the community with the government. This is absolutely crucial. Raising awareness of the significant burden of illness that patients and families face, and the importance of government support in funding research and raising the standard of care in this rare disease. And the society brings a sense of empowerment and hope to patients and their families. They recognize they're not alone. When they act together, they can amplify their voices and be active agents taking control of their future. And so, yes, there are many, many worthwhile groups to support, mm-hmm. but what the FSHD Society does for this community is absolutely crucial. Mm-hmm.
You talked about bringing therapies to, you know, families, to patients as quickly as possible. That comes with pressure. That comes with angst and anxiety. How do you cope with that? You are a scientist, but you're a human. You know, you're trying to help other humans. And the fact that you had this great opportunity to speak at the 360 meeting event and meet some of the people. How does that impact you, make you feel as you push your work forward?
I think it gives so much inspiration to me and my colleagues at Fulcrum, because what I did after I came back is I brought the insights that I learned at this meeting and shared it with as many people as possible. And especially when I talked about the patients and the families and what they're going through and what they're looking for, as we're trying to do what we do, which is design the studies and execute the studies and bring the drugs to the patients as quickly as possible, sometimes it's a lot of work and sometimes there are setbacks. But when we think about the patients and the families and what their experiences are, our goal and our mission stays crystal clear, and it gives us energy and inspiration. And that's the best thing.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put. It's great to have you in our corner, as well as Fulcrum. I'm glad you're there. I'm glad that you're like I said, in our corner, on our side on this fight. It is a great tool. You're a great asset, great person to be involved in helping us try to get this treatment. What do you see then as we, you know, go through into 2022? What is your vision or hope or goal for the year coming up?
Well, we at Fulcrum, you know, we're looking this year to speak to the FDA and regulatory authorities to get insight as to our next steps in order to bring losmapimod to patients. Mm. And as the year turns in the first quarter, we look to share those insights with the rest of the community. And we are looking forward to our next trial and the partnership that it will take to have a successful trial will involve FSHD Society, the patients and caregivers who are members. It'll take all of us in partnership to execute a study together. And I think that I would ask the community, you know, to keep an eye on Fulcrum, to keep an eye on FSHD Society, learn about the studies, and take advantage and participate if they're eligible. It is this partnership that will bring disease-modifying therapies forward as soon as possible.
Thank you, Olga, for joining us today on the Giving Tuesday event. Much appreciated. Your time is valuable, and thanks for spending some of it with us. And
thank you so much.
Keep getting after it. Keep doing what you're doing, fighting the good fight for us. We appreciate it.
And I wish the FSHD Society a successful day today. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you, Olga.
Thank you, everybody.
That is Olga Middleman. She is MD. She is a huge help in this fight with Fulcrum. We thank Fulcrum for all their support as well, doing some amazing things. It has been definitely something that has been, I don't know, eye-opening, I guess, for me when I talk to the scientists, talk how much that, yeah, they're doing the work. Yes, those things are way over my head of what they're working on. But it always comes back to the patient. They always seem to bring it back around to the patient. She talked about meeting people at the 360 meeting event. It was great, because that's really what is the driving force. And I know later in our last segment today, we'll be talking to Molly White, I believe, at Dyne, and similar, you know, conversation will happen to how important it is to have that connection with the patients and know what we're fighting for. Now, donations, Giving Tuesday, that's what it's about. Spread the word, share either this Facebook feed we're doing right now. There's other links out there to share, because you can donate through Facebook. You can donate through fshdsociety.org. Those are the ways to do it. We move forward to our next guest. We have Sharif. Hello, Sharif. How are you doing? Welcome to the Giving Tuesday telethon. I'm doing well, sir. I'd love to start with kind of having you introduce yourself and let us know why are you spending some time with us here on Giving Tuesday? I'm glad you're here.
Of course. No, it's a pleasure. My name is Sharif Tadupordpar. I'm a scientist. Mm. I have trainings in muscle biology and gene therapy. And I also have family members mm-hmm. affected with FSHD. So that's why I'm interested in, you know, contributing to this cause and being part of the great event that you're putting together.
Mm. Yeah, I read that you have family that have FSHD. Is that kind of the catalyst, the driving force that got you into this work?
Exactly. So I grew up watching my father specifically struggle with FSHD since I was a teenager, and I could see different phases of his disease. And that was basically when I decided that I want to devote my career in basically making an impact in the quality of life of patients affected by genetic muscle disease. I started studying biology, and I decided to go into research, applied to schools that had programs on muscle biology and developing therapeutics for muscle diseases. I did my PhD in the same area. I studied at Harvard, and then after that, I joined the Broad Institute in MIT and was able to develop a technology that can actually have a big impact in the efficiency of gene therapies for different forms of genetic muscle diseases. And currently, I'm working in an industry setting. I started a company named Kate Therapeutics that's focused on using this technology for developing more effective therapies for genetic muscle disease.
Wow, man, you are a superhero in my mind right here. You're rattling off schooling with Harvard, MIT. Then, of course, you have the driving force of your father has this disease. Man, FSHD messed with the wrong guy. That's what I think. And you're kind of, yeah, this is awesome. There is something that I was given a little bit, you know, of some of the work that you were working on or that you are working on. And I don't want to butcher the heck out of this because I'm not a scientist. Big surprise to most. It is a development use called direct evolution. Is that right? Am I explaining
that? Direct evolution.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit about that for layman people like myself, and what does that look like, and how does that help us with this FSHD?
Yeah. So basically, for any form of for treating any form of genetic disease, one way is to deliver, you know, a healthy copy of the gene, or some sort of therapeutic that can get into the tissue of interest.
Correct.
For genetic myopathies, obviously you need to deliver the therapies to the muscle, and the way, the most common way for delivering therapies for genetic diseases is by using these non-pathogenic viruses that are called adeno-associated viruses, or AAVs.
Okay.
So these are viruses that are present in nature. You know, individuals are actually get infected with AAVs all the time, but they don't know it because, you know, it doesn't cause any disease. One of the major problems with these AAVs that are currently in human clinical trials is that most of it gets into the liver after it's injected to the bloodstream. So majority of these viruses get sequestered to the liver, and only a small percentage get to other tissues. One way to tackle this problem is to engineer these viruses, to change their surface, and to evolve them in a way that instead of them going to the liver, they go to the target tissue that you're interested in. For genetic muscle disease, you obviously want these viruses to deliver your therapeutic into the muscle. And the technology that we use is called directed evolution. It's actually a technology that won a Nobel Prize a few years ago, which it's a forced way to evolve something, to push something, specifically specific proteins on the surface of this virus to have your desired characteristics. The desired characteristic in our case is for these viruses, after you inject them into the blood, to go to the muscle tissue.
Go to the muscle.
And that's basically what we did. We evolved them. We changed their surface, and we engineered these viruses so that instead of mainly going to the liver, they're very effectively going to the muscle tissue, delivering your therapeutic to the muscle, so that you can use much lower doses of virus. That's the major problem that a lot of the current ongoing human clinical trials have. They need to inject enormous doses of virus to patients, and that has resulted in toxicity issues in the liver.
Okay.
It also limits the population of patients that can get treated with gene therapies, because the amount of virus that you inject is dependent on the weight of the patient. So adult patients are mainly excluded from these gene therapy clinical trials because they're heavier, and production of that much virus is problematic. Also, it comes with potential toxicity issues in the liver.
So it's basically a better, more efficient delivery method for treatments to get right to the muscle. Am I kind of understanding that?
Exactly. Like, my answer was very long.
No. It was totally perfect. Totally perfect. Because I never realized that that's how treatments in general, you know, get delivered to people, was through a virus. And it wasn't until doing these shows and episodes with scientists and understanding that a little bit of the science behind treatments for people. And I was like, wow, they use virus. Okay, that makes sense. Something that your body can accept, almost like you're sneaking something in, like a Trojan horse, so to speak. And then the delivery method is that.
I wouldn't call that a Trojan horse specifically, because Trojan horse like delivers the enemy.
Right. All right, Sharif, you got me on that one.
Sorry.
No, you have to correct me. Are you kidding me right now? I did not go to Harvard. I mean, come on. This has to be this way. No. I love the fact, though, that there are some key words in there. And one was, I try to listen to this from the aspect of all our other listeners. And like, what would they ask Sharif? You know, what would they ask the scientists if they had the opportunity? And obviously Facebook is a way, because we're streaming, and if they want to ask something, they more than welcome to, and I will pass it on. But the one thing that that you kind of said something about, you know, genetically changing or modifying, you know, this virus. Do you think that that scares people a little bit if they hear that? Do they get too science fiction on you when you try to describe this to the general
public?
That's
a very good question. I think it's very important. I mean, with pandemic, everybody is scared of virus. So what's really important to know here is we are not actually using a live virus here. We are just using the protein shell on the surface of this virus.
Okay.
And what's within the virus is the therapeutic that we want to deliver. Mm-hmm. So it's either a healthy copy of the gene or the components of the gene editing machinery. So whatever you want to deliver. Mm-hmm. But we're basically using the protein on the surface of this virus as a FedEx truck, right? Like we need to give it the direction to go to where we want it to go. And by directed evolution, we're actually providing that direction and giving that direction to that FedEx truck, which is the protein shell of the virus, mm-hmm. that, okay, go to the muscle, don't go to the liver, don't go to the lung, don't go to the kidney. That's the analogy I think that I can use to most effectively communicate that. It's certainly not a live virus. It's not something that's able to propagate. Yeah. It's called a recombinant virus, which means that it's only the surface part of the virus that allows the therapeutic to get to the desired tissue that we wanted.
Perfect. Okay. Because I'm not worried, but there might be others, right? Like you said, pandemic. Uh-oh, he said the word virus, and then he, you know, it's like, this will be good, people. It's okay. You know, Sharif's on it. We're going to be fine.
these viruses are now in clinical. There are two FDA-approved drugs that use AAVs. There are more than 200 clinical trials that are using AAVs.
Wow.
So it's like it has been proven over 20 years that it could be safe if you use it at lower doses.
Got it. So how important then is a day like today to your work, a Giving Tuesday funding? You know, we have a match of, you know, $200,000 out there right now. We're trying to, you know, hit that mark. For your work, from your perspective, what does a day like today mean?
It means a lot, actually. You know, supporting research is the key. For FSHD specifically, there are still a lot of unknowns about the biology of the disease, about, you know, how the mechanism works, and then what are the potential therapeutic strategies that could be pursued. There are many, many different groups who are dedicated and working on this, and days like today can actually provide the resources for scientists to be able to like move forward and push making new discoveries, come up with new treatment strategies. The technology is getting there slowly, mm-hmm. to be able to basically at least see the light at the end of the tunnel, but there is still a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And days like today can provide the resources for scientists to keep going.
Yeah, it's well put. Well put. Yes. And I know you're motivated to help us as a community, but also help your family that's been directly affected by this. And that's huge, of course, for all of us. And to have you vested to that degree is just an added push. I can only imagine the feelings you have when you're, you know, in this work pushing hard. It's now something that's personal for you. As you go now into 2022, what are your hopes for the upcoming year?
What are my hopes?
Yeah.
My hope is, you know, to have an even more productive year.
Yeah.
And to keep pushing forward as fast as possible to, you know, try to develop new technologies, try to use the technologies that we've developed for developing therapeutics for genetic muscle disease, basically keep going at the same pace and cranking away, trying to find the path forward for making a difference in people's lives. That's what I hope for.
I like that. Finding a path forward. Well, we're right behind you, Sharif. We're going to do everything we can to help you and make sure that FSHD Society's got your back, and I really appreciate the work you're doing. I admire it. I don't completely understand it, but I don't have to. because I trust you, Sharif. And you explained it so well, and I appreciate your time today on Giving Tuesday, doing that for us and letting you know how important it is for this day and how it helps your research and what you're doing for us and your family.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
So
thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to have you on again. This was too much fun, and it was too short. So we got it was too much fun. All right. Thanks, Sharif. Take care.
All right.
Enjoy your Tuesday. Sharif is a scientist. Man, when he said Harvard and MIT, folks, I mean, are you out of your mind right now? I mean, that's insane. It's a 1-2 punch. And when I always tell people, I get a little intimidated when June or Lee suggests, hey, let's have a scientist on. I'm like, okay. I have to wrap my head around the science of this, and I understand the basicness of it, but to ask a scientist a question so that we can, you know, pull some information out, understand what's going on, is always a challenge, a fun challenge, but always a challenge. So I really appreciate Sharif coming on and talking more about his work. Oh, man, it's been a
fast
hour.
You do an amazing
job
at it, Tim. You're fabulous.
I have to be okay with looking kind of dumb, to be honest with you, Lee. That's how it works.
No, you just look like a normal human. Most of us get a little intimidated when we try to have those conversations.
Oh my gosh.
Sort of like, how did I get stuck at the smart kids table at the lunchroom?
There's
no way.
I mean, I flunked biology as a freshman in high school. I mean, this is not,
yeah, those
is
are
not
my
cup of tea.
Either, but that's what makes you such a great host. That makes part of what makes you do such a great job is that, you know, you help them break it down in a way that everybody can understand it. And that's what makes the show so great.
I try.
What a first hour,
man.
Right?
What a first hour. It was an hour that I saw to be the most difficult names to pronunciate hour. That's how I labeled it in my head. And I think that went okay. I really dodged the bullet with Sharif. I let him pronounce his own name. I thought this is not going to work for me. This is better this way. And Olga was phenomenal. Aviva was great. Of course, Mark Stone kicking us all off. So this is a great productive hour, Lee.
Yeah, and Olga, the newcomer, she was wonderful.
Yeah, she
welcome
was great.
Welcome to the family, man.
Yes. Welcome to the family. More smart people at the family. I like it. That's good.
That's what we do.
So where can people donate as we finish up this first hour one?
You can donate directly on Facebook. All those donations, of course, count towards the total and towards that $200,000 match, which is ridiculous and amazing. So there is a match that sort of is happening through Facebook. This is not that.
Oh.
This is in addition to that. We have, I don't know how the Facebook match exactly works. It's sort of up for grabs, you know, among all the various charities involved in Giving Tuesday today. But our $200,000 match has been put up by some very generous donors specifically to us. So we're not competing with that with any other charities. So who knows? If we get some of the Facebook match, then perhaps your money can be tripled. We don't know yet how that Facebook match will work out. But you can give directly through Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can go to the fshdsociety.org. The donate button is on every page of the website. And it all counts towards this audacious, amazing goal that we have today. I think a few years ago, before the radio show, Tim, we used to pull in, you know, $7,000-$10,000 on a really good day Giving Tuesday, if we were lucky. Might have even been lower than that a few years back. And then you came along and we started doing the radio show.
Yeah.
And you said, I got this crazy idea. What if we do like a telethon all day long insanity? And just look what's happened. Like you got the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
this is definitely more manageable.
Year,
yeah. This style.
Yeah. But last year was amazing. We just had people calling us during the day saying, I'm going to put up some more money and I want to put up some more to keep the match going. And so, what you do with the show really lights a fire. You know, Mark tells this story about I'm going to butcher it, but you know, if you can't set the people around, you know, we come along and you try to set everybody aflame. And if you can't, you just set yourself on fire and let people warm them, you know, by your blaze. And you are a bonfire person, Tim, that's for sure.
Gather around,
so
folks. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody gathers around and warms themselves by your fire. And then they decide to chip in and chip in and chip in. And t-
today's the day when, you know, magic happens. So
yeah, today's the day.
We just got started. More to come.
I love it. I just wanted to put this platform to work. You know, you mentioned competition. We're competing against other nonprofits and other groups out there, and that always gets my juices flowing. So I'm like, ooh, competition. We got to be number one. And I was looking at all these amazing chapters that were doing walk-in roles and raising money and this and that. I'm like, these guys are kicking my butt. And the radio show is not generating that kind of that kind of you know, money for the FSHD side. I'm like, I got to do something about this. This is competition time. I mean, they didn't know I was competing, but
hey,
I was
competing. I'm a huge fan of friendly
and
competition.
I'm like, yeah, like, let's go. So I thought, I got to do something to help make this platform work. Yeah, put it to work.
Yeah, I think you've managed to do that.
That's
quite
fun.
Well.
So. Yeah, and I roped you in. I roped you in. I don't know. Yeah, Lee, you're the glue, because people don't know the back end workings, all the pre and then deering and then letting the guests know. And I always say that when you have that person, like the first year I did it, it was extremely difficult to call people. Get on the phone. That's how it was. That's how primitive this was only three years ago. And now with you in the corner helping out, this has been great.
Well, it's my pleasure. I enjoy it. It's really fun for me. So I like to be the person behind the screen,
nice.
But I also like to pop in occasionally.
Yeah. That's good. You should. Yeah.
All right. So do we have any closing announcements? We're going to wrap up our first hour. We got three more hours to go throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And some amazing guests every hour. June has the most ridiculously amazing Rolodex. That's an old fashioned term, but contact list in her phone of anyone I've ever met. And she fires it up and lines up these amazing guests. Mm-hmm. So if you're just now tuning in, go back, listen to the replay of what we just did. We got three more hours
coming.
We're on it. What we got?
Noon Central. What's that? What's that everywhere else?
That is 1 o'clock Eastern, noon Central, 11 Mountain, and 10 Pacific. Okay. That's our next hour. Okay. And then hour number three comes up at 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock
Central,
4 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Mountain. 2 o'clock Pacific, and then we end it tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 o'clock Mountain, and 6 o'clock Pacific. You tested me on the time.
I know. They told me there'd be no math, so I leave that up to you. So.
It's not really math, but it's numbers.
It's not. It's kind of. It's subtraction. It's a little
bit,
I think.
Tricky.
Yeah.
Still tricky.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, let's you and I go get some coffee and. Anybody we should make or any other announcements we should make?
Folks, you can just keep donating. You know the platforms to do it in. Facebook, fshdsociety.org. You can always email me if you'd like, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. In between the segments, while we rest up, refuel, and hit another hour with Scott Harper, Jacob Wise, and Anna Gilmore will all be here when we come back in a couple hours. So we'll see you on the other side.
Awesome.
Thanks,
we'll run the totals too and see how we're doing so far and let you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Exciting stuff. People are donating. That's what makes
it. In. All right. See you on the other
Fantastic.
Side, folks. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Take care.